Learnings from ending an 11-year relationship. Hello there, and welcome back to another podcast of The Rising Tide with Tara Barrow, where I share my learnings, my life experience, and much more, tips, tools, tricks that you can use, give it a try in your own life and see if it works in order to create the life that you truly want and elevate everything that you want as well. In this episode, I share the journey of the last few months of the ending of my 11-year relationship as I have grown loads through that time. I am grateful for the way that I showed up, that I behaved and I acted, because I wanted to end this relationship consciously. I'd been with this man for 11 years. And I wanted to be honest with him on many different levels. And so that was the whole conscious effort. And there's just little moments that added to each other, but I've grown so much from the experience and I absolutely love it. So I'm going to share all the learnings from the month by month sort of for through the eight last month of the relationship. Okay. This episode is sponsored to you by tarabarrow.com/tools, so you can get to start creating the life that you want for yourself, right? So coaching enables you to consciously, and what I mean consciously is like you are choosing what you want and you're putting that into an action, and everything is done consciously. So you're not just going into your day-to-day life in default mode, just going to work, taking care of your family, taking care of yourself, doing your hobbies, going for a drink, going for dinner, and then repeating over and over again. You are choosing how you want to create your life, what you want to create, and what you want to bring into your life. And so the tools that I share on tarabarrow.com/tools, which are free for you to give a try, so yay, enables you to get a start to knowing, first of all, is your life right now aligning with the values that you hold? Like, are the activities or even the job, right, aligning what you want? I'll give you an example. So I worked for about 6 months as a receptionist in a service department in France. And I mean, my long-term work is not to be a receptionist. This is not at all. But what the work allowed me to be and do, well, first to be myself, that was really important. I just can't pretend to be anybody else but me. But also, it's the receptionist, the communication. I love the interaction with other humans, to talk to them, to bring a smile. And so as a receptionist, well, I'm at the front, I'm the face, you know, and I'd show up at 7 a.m. twice a week. I'd start at 7 a.m. in the morning. And, you know, the clients would stop and chat for 5 minutes. And they say, it's such a pleasure to see you because you're full of energy and you're smiley. And like, it gives me a boost of energy for my day. It's like, or I look forward to saying hi in the morning. Simple little things like that. So that was aligned in that sense, because I knew I was able to use this part of me for it. And on top of that, it allowed me to keep paying for my coaching program. So it had two things, right? But it was aligned with my values. So even if it's not the job directly, it's something in the job that can be aligned with your values. That's just one example. So if you want to figure out your values, there is the values list and the video on tarabarrow.com/tools. That's tarabarrow.com/tools. All right, and back to the episode now. The 11-year relationship. I've been hesitant to share about this. Well, not hesitant, actually. It's been on mind to share about it, and I haven't, because it hadn't felt just right yet, like many other things. There was one thing about putting content online that I really liked, and it was, instead of showing an open wound when you're completely in it and you can't see the light out of the tunnel and you're feeling stuck, show the scar. So when you've taken a bit of a step back and you're not triggered, angry, pissed off, and just sharing from the I don't know what the hell to get out of this place sort of thing. This is one thing that I like. I think showing the in it moment also online is a great thing, because most people don't. They just show like the great, beautiful, pretty stuff and you don't see the real life. But just so that you don't project onto others or judge or piss off or things like that. And by the way, there will be swearing in this episode because this is me. So, hey, that's just part of it. Not that much, but it will be a little bit. Right. I mean, when you're 11 years with somebody, there's a lot of things that build up over the years. Our relationship with my partner then was pretty good overall. We got along very well. We had similar activities. We could talk, we had fun, we laughed. And on the outside, I mean, people looked at us and they're just like, yeah, everything's good, rosy, pinkish. And actually, when I said I wanted to end it, my family members didn't understand, because for them, everything was okay. And yeah, it was on the outside and everything, it was all good. I'd been with him since I was 21. He's 5 years older than me. And so when I got into the relationship, actually, I even think about that now. I was still at university when I met him in the UK. He was in Hong Kong. And when I came to Hong Kong for the holidays, in the last, this Easter holidays for my last year, that's when I met him. And yeah, that's when I met him. So my situation at university, and actually we're going way back a little bit to cover a bit of background. My situation at university, I'd always want to have a boyfriend, and the girlfriends around me would have boyfriends and I wouldn't. And I was very upset and sad, and I wanted to be like everybody else and just have a guy who'd support me, care about me, love me. And it was just kind of an objective I had. But what happened was every 3 months I'd leave UK for about a month to Hong Kong most of the time, Hong Kong or Singapore. And so any guy, it was just like too long of a sort of break in between the time that I was in the UK, and I never found anybody and I never had a relationship. So my goal coming back to Hong Kong was like, I'm going to settle in and I'm going to find myself a man, which I did. And so that was the only objective, and that was, and I made it happen. Manifestation at its best, even at its early age. And things were very easy. That was beautiful. Like, we had a similar sport interest, and that's how we got to know each other a little bit more. And life just kept on going, and the years went by, and things was easy. And I never asked any questions. I am a people pleaser at heart. Like, seriously, deep people pleasing skills. And for me, in order to feel loved, and that was my reasoning and functioning until about 5 years ago, where I told everything to like F off, was be what other people wanted to be of me, and then they would be happy and then they would love me. And so I would please, 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 and I do it for that reason. I do it to feel loved. I would please people and do things to make people happy, to be loved. And that's how I function. So I never really asked any questions. That on a personal note, I've always tried to, same thing for the work, like to please family members. And every time that I did something that I thought they wanted of me, and I'm very careful of the language that I'm using, because it doesn't mean what they wanted from me, but it's what I thought wanted from me, what I thought was expected of me, of society, society expected of me. There was always a big fat emptiness felt inside. And yeah, it was a hole. It was like everything that I did was never enough. The job wasn't just right. Like, I was going for a job, but I felt like crap. I felt like I wasn't fulfilled, like I wasn't doing this for myself. And so I just sort of try to like stumble my way through my 20s, trying to figure things out left and right. And then there came a moment where I had to choose between an income, a client, and then seeing my family, traveling. The traveling was planned first. And if I stay in Hong Kong, then I would have the revenue. But in my heart, I was like, no, like, there's got to be another way. I don't want to have to choose between spending time with the people that I care about and having an income. money comes and goes. Family doesn't. Once they're gone, they're gone. And there's no resurrecting them from the grave or whatsoever. Anybody who's lost a close one will know this. They are gone. Final. I'm really saying. And there's an article of the 5 Regrets of the Dying by Bronnie Ware. That's really good about that. And that's maybe like, if I have any regrets, there's... Yeah, if I think that I'm ever going to regret something, not doing something, then I should be doing it. And that's how I've acted for quite a while now. And I wanted to find a solution. And that's when I started to do the self-development journey. And in the self-development journey, you work on every single aspect of your life. So you have the professional, the financial, the career, physical aspect, spiritual aspect, community, and your personal relationships. So it could be your family and also your loved one, your partner. Now by this time, now I'm trying to figure out, in 2016, I was trying to figure out myself. I was trying to, and I have to say that my partner was extremely patient with me, because I was on a low. Like, I had moments where before that, it was, I'd get out of bed, but I wouldn't do my bed, I wouldn't do the dishes. I kind of lied to myself and to people around, just like, how are you doing? I'm fine. And like, people would see me and I'd be all dolled up and looking great and with a smile on my face always. It's like, how are you doing? I'm fine. And like, how are you really doing? I'm fine. Yeah, that was my reply. I was like, totally okay. And completely like not feeling my feelings as well, by the way. Yeah, actually, this is good remembrance. If you can't tell, this is not scripted, by the way. What I remember really was at the end of 2019, we were getting already on each other's nerve privately. Publicly, people couldn't see. They couldn't see there was something off. There's nothing wrong. But in 2019, I became aware that the relationship I was in was no longer the relationship I wanted. The dynamic I had with him, the communications or lack thereof communications that I didn't have with him was not what I wanted. The emotional connection as well was not what I wanted. Like this, I was with an incredible man. But the relationship that I had was no longer the relationship that I wanted. And I tried. I tried to change it. I tried. So every time I see something I don't know what to do, I read books, I read podcasts, I listen to talks, and I go find experts who teach on that and who know about that. So from relationships, listening to other people who had different types of relationships, who had well-functioning relationships and how that work, the different connections as well. And I tried. So in December, so now let's go back. Yeah. So when I realized the relationship I was in was no longer the relationship I wanted, I tried a few different things, and that's, the growth started to increase multiple ways. Yeah, actually, just before that, I'd ask him. I've been working. Yeah, go back. Sorry, my brain is not exactly. I've been working on developing a business that I could work remotely and travel with since 2017. Like I said, he was very, very patient with me, and for that, I am extremely grateful to him, because he was supportive in his own way, but the way that he spoke out of his fears didn't feel supportive. And I realized that actually afterwards in counseling, that we were hurting each other, and actually I'll bring that back up later. So in December 2019, and also keep in mind, so we're in Hong Kong, this is just pre-COVID, just to give an example. So yeah, December 2019, I want to find time where we spend more time together. And I tell him, it was towards the end of December, and I ask if every 2 to 3 weekends we can do a staycation or a holiday away from Hong Kong. Money wasn't an issue for little staycations, especially away from Hong Kong. Southeast Asia is cheap to travel, and absolutely amazing. So when I brought this up, and it's just like I said, so his response, I'm just gonna say what his response was and how I interpreted his response, because these are two different things, and that's also what kept hurting me every single time. So there's two different things, and also the context. So when I said that, every 2 to 3 weeks, if we can do like a staycation or a holiday, like a weekend away, and we'd done this, we'd done short weekends away, like we'd go away on the Friday night, come back on the Sunday evening, and we'd gone to the Philippines for 2 days. So it wasn't something that we wouldn't do as well. It wasn't out of the blue. But when I said this, because it was every 2 to 3 weeks, he was doing his activity every single Saturday afternoon. And throughout all my relationship, I never told him to not do it, because it was his thing. He's been doing that activity since he was 5, and it was his go-to happy place. He had his go-to happy place activities, and I had mine. Now, I am questioning my relationship, and I'm trying to figure out how the hell I can bring us closer together, because I am freaking out. This is not what I want, and I just don't know what else to do. And I'm gonna get emotional with this. I am getting emotional with this, because it feels, his reply was, I can't because I've got my activity, or I don't want to spend time away from my activity, right? And for 10 years, I'd never ask him to sacrifice or not skip his activity, ever commitment, and I would actually push him to do this stuff, but he was telling me that he couldn't. And I have heard this before, like, women aren't good at expressing what the hell's going on inside until it's too late and they break and they leave. And I couldn't express to what level the thing that we were in was so not what I not wanted. I'm just gonna do like little parentheses as well. Like, I'm relieving what I'm done through the relationship, but I have no regret, and it was crystal clear that leaving this relationship was the right choice for me, by the way. Just going back to that time, so now back to the past. So his reply was, I can't because I have this activity. My interpretation of this was, our relationship is less important than his activity. That was my interpretation. So that hurt. That really hurt. And I'm very well that it was my interpretation and it means other things. But I know you listening right here as well, that when somebody says something to you, you'll hear something and you'll make it mean something of your own. We all do that, by the way. And if you're denying this, I don't do this, you're lying to yourself. I will guarantee that. You're lying to yourself. And if it hurts, and when I'm saying this to you and I'm calling you out, well, I'm calling you forward, because I'm a coach. I want you to be your better self, because I know you can. And I'm true speaking right now. And yeah, so hard conversations are important, and that's one of them. And I'm having that one with you right now, looking at you in the eye, if you're looking at this. If you're listening in your ear, I've been very stern about this, and that's the whole point. So that was my interpretation of it, which hurt it. I managed to find my words to express it, and he saw it. And I was saying, you know, trying to manage to convince him, like, I really need this. I want to be closer to you. I want to, you know, I want us to be closer. And he finally accepted it. I think we did 2 weekends, staycations in Hong Kong. But then, I still felt something off, like there was a lot of things coming off as well. So I'm gonna hop back now. So this was December 2019. I'm gonna hop back to, I believe it was spring 2019. Okay. It's actually, it's very good for me to do this. It's a good thing. I think it was spring 2019. No, it was before. It was before. It was spring 2017 or something like that. It was before that. I'd been on the pill since I was 17. And there came a time where it no longer felt right. On a hormone, something in my body, I was being way more attuned to my body and how it felt and learning how my body feels. And just learning to really like being the CEO of my, like my life, my body, and just paying like the person living in the body, right, in your body, like you are the best person to know how your body feels on a day-to-day basis. You are with your body every single moment of the day. You know its sensation, you can recognize when something's off or when something's not. And you numb when something's off because you don't want to feel it. And so I noticed something was, like, something wasn't sitting right with my, just something on a hormonal level, like taking the pill on a regular basis. I've been taking it for 13 years. It just didn't feel right anymore. So I stopped taking the pill. And then what happened was I felt like I was going back into being a teenager. Like I never really felt I was, felt a teenager, like the whole, the hormonal and the sexual attraction and just, yeah, your body feeling physically attractive to somebody else just because of your hormones and you haven't done anything else. I'd never really felt that before. I'd never felt that before. And I started feeling that. to people whom, when I was looking at them, and my brain was like, fuck no, like, no, this was not, I could feel like there was a hormonal thing going on, which was a body thing, and but my mind was like, no, this is, like, why the hell are you attracted? It's, yeah. And so learning to live with that. But I could feel this attraction with people, and it's, and I never wanted to act on it for any reason. For me, and I love when people say, like, I made a commitment to my partner. We weren't married. We weren't married, but I made a commitment to him. And it was clear for me, and under no circumstances was I gonna stray out of that commitment. People was like, oh, when you get married, and I was like, if you're not committed after, and I kept saying this, like, the 5 years, 7 years, or 10 years of relationship, a marriage ain't gonna change that commitment for crap. So yeah, so it was never in my mind, but I could feel that attraction growing. And also, man, I learned so much on the pill. Oh my gosh, this is interesting because I'm not super at ease of talking about this, and this is something that I do want to share because it is so not talked about, women and the hormonal system. And I will share a story, just like a side thing of how, like, doctors have really little, very few doctors know about, no, pay attention to the woman hormonal cycle. And yeah, so I'd heard, all right, and actually there's more and more studies coming up on this. When you're on a hormonal contraceptive, which I was, you are changing your system, communication system, from your reproductive communication system of the reproducing organs. And therefore, you might find yourself attracted to people who you normally wouldn't find attractive because your whole hormonal system is off balance. And I'd heard about this before, and I read about this as well afterwards. I went a deep dive into reading about the female hormonal system, how it functions, how to also balance it, also, you know, how very painful periods are commonly accepted, but it means there's a hormonal imbalance in your system, and it could be helped by foods and different things that you can do. This is not my words. These are researchers that have done this for many, many years, like 10, 20 years worth of research, and they've put those research into books, and I've read those research and because I was interested in that and I wanted to know how my system functioned. And yeah, so I found myself attracted to people that I didn't think I'd be attracted, and I also didn't find myself attracted to my partner. That shifted. But yeah, so January 2020, because of this, and because I did not want to cheat on my man, I asked for an open relationship, which he straight said no. And then we talked, and he's like, please don't. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll respect that. And I respected that till the end. But that was to the point that I did not want to stray. He did have a freak out, but apparently it wasn't big enough. That's my judgment again. But he did have a freak out. But yes, I promised I wouldn't. And I kept my promise again till the end of that relationship. Now in February, a couple things happened in February. I did a holotropic breath work, which was more on a personal side, and actually that was a beautiful experience, because in that session, so holotropic breath work is a whole session. This was morning, where there was the grounding, you talked about it, you talked about what you wanted to bring up, and then you go through the breath work. And then there's another grounding at the end, and you talk and you share. The breathwork session is about an hour and a half, depending on the time. The idea of the breathwork session is to... It has a similar effect as psychedelics, but without taking anything, which is a great thing because it is 100% legal. And in that breath work, I came to understand that I was enough. Now, what I like about the session and also the explain of it is like whatever comes up, like whatever you need to hear or untag or whichever comes up, like this is your subconscious underneath. I'm on video if you're wondering why I'm trying to like talk about things. So just visualize that you have your subconscious underneath the layer. And you have the conscious on top of it. And whatever is just underneath the subconscious will come out during the holotropic breath work, and something will come from there. And so for me, that was one of it, that I was enough. And so that came out. Another thing also in that month is I started reading books on femininity and embracing your femininity and the woman side of you. Books Untamed by Glennon Doyle and Pussy by Mama Gina. Incredible books, by the way, if you want to like feel your feminine empowerment power and just like understanding. I love those, were eye-opening books. Actually, from then, it was interesting, I changed how I dressed. I accepted my body as it was. It was the first time then at that time, and I remember it, I had a shift where I truly loved my body for everything that it is. All the scars, the stretch marks, the lines, all of it. I embraced it to whole. I find myself so beautiful, and I started dressing at what I call as practical sexy, which meant I love to move and be flexible. So yeah, things that I could just do anything. If I wanted to go for a walk, I could walk. So it'd be way more sneakers, shorts, and then, yeah. But it was also a lot, sexy, as in well fitted on my body. I just felt incredible. So that was like a shift in, so really embracing my femininity, not trying to hide it because I was going to be judged differently by men or anybody else, by the way. And embracing that. And I just felt incredible. And by the way, at that time also, people started to say like, oh my gosh, you look incredible. You have a glow. You changed. Like something inside me completely shifted, where I was like, I'm embracing my fullness and all the energy that I have and who I am. And it was just like, wow, loved it. So yeah. Then came March. March was I mean, March also, COVID, Hong Kong, I was working from home. By then, all my activities, one after the other, were being cancelled, not happening. I know COVID kind of started mid-March for most of the world. In Hong Kong, it started in Feb. Like Chinese New Year, and the schools after Chinese New Year, which was in February, did not go back to schools. People were working from home and things already was changing in February. So my activities were being cancelled one after the other. We couldn't meet up anymore. And so I felt super alone because I wasn't seeing my friends. I wasn't going out as much. I'd work from home, be at home. My partner would come back home and I'd wanted to talk and he was tired. He didn't want to talk. And I just felt the loneliest I'd ever felt then at that time. It was just like I had nobody to talk to. I was already talking on the phone with two friends. I had one based in Hong Kong and one based halfway across the world. And they were incredible support. I mean, being able to talk to them, I was not judged. There was no judgment. There was just curiosity, question, how can they support, talking honestly, openly, and they were absolute pillars for me during that time. So me feeling lonely, having still pillars around to help, and there came a moment, I don't exactly remember which time in March it was, I think it was towards the middle of the month, where, and I remember this, it's like a clear moment, I felt so empty, so lost, that I did not know what to do. I was questioning, I did not know, there was fear coming in, there were so many things that were just happening in my mind, and on top of the whole world shutting down, it just, there was so much going on, I just did not know. And I had a salsa class with a girlfriend of mine, and these were like, okay, I'm gonna dress up. When I find an occasion to dress up when I go out, just like, yeah, I'm gonna go to town, and I'm gonna dress up and, you know, love myself that way. And so I put on a cute little red dress, my sneakers, because dancing salsa is easy in sneakers or sandals, whichever it was, and I went. I got into the taxi, I put my hands on my heart, and I asked myself the question, do I still want to be with him? My whole body, I don't know, and I thought it was afterwards, I knew it was a no. My whole body was responding and was like, no. I felt like I was crumbling inside. I teared up. And from that on was the moment that I knew that I couldn't stay in this relationship, that I was staying in this relationship for the wrong reasons. I realized at that moment that, actually I forgot something in February that happened. I realized at that moment that I was afraid to leave the lifestyle that I had. I was completely dependent on him financially at that time. About 6 months before I asked if I could focus on just launching my business, and he said yes, and so that was the case. And so I had no more income, plus all the events had stopped in Hong Kong since June 2019 because of the protest. And yes, I was fully dependent on him. I also was doing my activities which were dependent on him. I had a really good lifestyle with him, and I was afraid to lose that, and I was wondering what would become of me if that all left. And so if I left the relationship, then I'd leave all that, obviously. But thank you, COVID, because COVID took that away from me. And I was like, I survived. So March was revealing. And from then on, I started taking action steps to find myself a job and to look at flats, because I was like, I gotta have my own income and move out. Before I continue on that point, in February, I mentioned to him the option of counseling, couple therapy, which he completely pushed away straight away. It was like, we don't need it. Now, as I'm recalling this, by the way, like, there's a lot of flags that I raised. This is like 3 months, right? We've got December, January, and Feb. In December, I'm asking to spend more time with him. And this is in hindsight, and it's like way easier to see things in hindsight than it is when you're right in the middle of it. So I totally comprehend that, okay? But I don't know, if you're like a guy listening to this, just like pay attention if there is things like that. But yeah, like, I was asking to spend more time together because I wanted us like to grow the connection. I asked for an open relationship because I didn't feel like, yeah, I don't know if I explained completely myself, but yeah, I just asked for an open relationship and I said no, and I accepted that. And then I asked for counseling because I wanted help, because by then I was like, I can't do this on my own. I don't have the tools to be able to communicate or to fix whatever needs to be fixing or change whatever I want to be changing in the direction. I need help. To the counseling, he said no, first of all, like, we don't need it. And then the second blow, really, and I felt like a blow, was it's too expensive. Again, putting everything into context, money wasn't a problem. He had the money. He has the money. It's just for him, like, therapy is an expensive thing. Now, when I heard that, because I knew it's not cheap, right? I forget. But when I heard him say, therapy is too expensive, I'm hearing our relationship is not worth that amount of money. Which, by the way, I put relationship as priceless, and he's telling me that is not worth fixing. That's my interpretation. That was a massive blow. And so by the time that I was completely like out of like, I can't do any of this, like, I was empty and all that, I was out. Like, I was like, I don't know what the hell to do. I can't, like, I tried new things and I get resistance. I tried to get external help and that was shut down. Like, a relationship is two people working together. And if the two people don't collaborate, you can't do anything about it. If only one works forward and the other one doesn't, you're not gonna go anywhere, right? And yeah, that was a massive blow to me. That was that pained, that really pained. And I think I talked about this with my friends, the two people that were supporting me at the time. And I just, yeah, I just remember the dagger in the heart, like, our relationship is not worth that. My interpretation again, but that's how I interpreted it. And that's how I lived with it until later. So yeah, so I'm looking for jobs and I'm talking to people to figure out the skills that I want to be using in my future jobs. And I'm looking online for apartments to be moving out. And so my plan was, when I felt that feeling I was describing, was to find myself a job, find myself a flat, and move out. Then my kindness side came up and I was like, I can't do that to him. I can't just get up and leave once that happens. Because that was the plan. The plan was not to tell him anything and just to get up and leave. And I was like, I can't do that to him. And towards the end of the month, March, he came home and we just sat and I told him, I was like, that's where I'm at. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm currently for jobs, I'm looking for flats, and I plan to move on. Now, as hard conversation goes, I had no clue how this was gonna end, the conversation, to start with, right? I was like, I've got to tell him this. Like, my integrity. I can't, anyways, you get that one, I'm sure you do. was that I had to tell him. I had to tell him where I was at and be honest with him. That was the thing, like, pure communication saying, and even though it hurt, and I knew it hurt him, it would hurt him a lot less than me finding a job, finding a flat, and taking up and leaving, because he would not have understood what happened then. When I was expressing this part here, he was like, holy crap, she's about to leave. Let's go counseling. About a month and a half had passed, by the way. I think, was it Feb that I think it might have been early Feb that I suggested the counseling. Anyways, it was about 2 months or a month and a half that passed already. We started counseling in April. And we first started doing individual sessions. We had one individual session each with the counseling person. And one of the things she said, oh no, I think we had the first one together and then we had one separate each. Anyways, one of the things she said was, this will only work if you want to be here. Because my partner found her. Because I also told him, like, you find somebody, we'll give it a try, it works. And I wanted it. I wanted the counseling, but by that time, and I wasn't honest with him about that, but by that time when I started counseling, I knew I wanted out of the relationship. My mind was set, was like, you know, this is worth a try, nothing to lose, see how it goes, you know. He hadn't shown any change of wanting to, any signs of wanting to change. And I knew that I was going to be able to learn stuff from her. I knew that I was going to be able to learn relationship tools, which I did, by the way, and it was incredible. One of the things that I've been doing since my self-development journey in 2016 was every time that I'd read a piece of content, that I'd listen to a podcast, that I'd see anything, I would take one thing away and apply it in my life as many times as I could. As like repeat, 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 so that it would come in, I could see if it worked or if it didn't work. If it didn't work, I'd drop it. And if it worked, I'd keep it. And I kept using it because it was golden. So it was great. Like, she came in, she gave tools, and I'd use it. I use it with my sister, I use it with my mom, I use it with my grandparents, I use it with my friends. And actually my relationship really started to like get way better with this straight from the get-go. And I was like, oh my gosh, it works, it's incredible. Like, oh, I can use this and I can use that. And way more fluid, way more open. I felt way better in how I expressed myself because I wasn't projecting like onto other people. It was my feelings and I wasn't pushing my feelings onto other people, like pushing my fears onto other people. And it just felt really good. And I did that on a day-to-day basis. Him, on the other hand, did not. And so every time something would come up, and we've been, so April, May, so yeah, April was part of that. Every time, not every time, but when something would come up that had a little bit of iffy scratchiness, I can't find the word that I want to use, but that it wasn't super smooth, he would go back straight to this old past. And I was like, why aren't you using the tool that you're learning in the counseling? And he was like, oh, but I never use it with anybody, so it doesn't come natural to me. And I was like, well, just use it in every single scenario. And he was like, oh no, but I can't do that. Another blow. And I was like, are you serious about this? Do you want this to work or not? And this was another one. It was like, bam. Like, no, that's not how I function. I'm not going to change how I function. Like, and so, of course, if you use this only when things go bad, then you actually don't know how to use it. Like, and that's one of the things, actually, and I say this to anybody who's in a relationship with love, like, going to therapy and counseling when you're already in the shits is the wrong fucking time. Like, you are on survival, triggering, fear mode. You're not rationalizing crap. And therefore, anything that's new, you're not going to be using, because you're going to use anything that's already settled in. So if you do counseling, therapy, or you have these tools already with you beforehand, and then the bad stuff happens, you can use everything that you've learned in that situation. You might be on survival mode, but you have a toolkit to be able to use in that situation. right? And that's one thing that was a big aha, and I was like, oh my gosh, today, now, anything that happens, like, if there's a triggering moment, and it's with the person opposite of me, like, if I can see them triggered, if I see them in the shit, and normally they would have a go at me, and I'd respond, and I'd react, and I'd have a go, I don't do that anymore. I can see what's going on. I can come back to my center itself, know that it has nothing to do with me, but they're going on with some really bad stuff. And I can completely be present for them. Right? And that's one person. If two people have that capacity, wow. Hey, it's a shitload of work. I'm not getting me wrong. Huh? I've been working on myself for quite a while. And I mean, the benefits of it are absolutely incredible. And I would recommend this, seriously. Like, we don't learn communication skills as we grow. Very few families out there will pass on the communication skills to their children if they have it. If they have it, they will definitely pass it on. If not, they don't. My family sure did not have it. Like, and so I didn't learn that from them. Crap. But I learned these tools thanks to everything that I've read, because how I wanted to be, my curiosity, my thirst for knowledge, and wanting to apply that in there. So yeah, so this was another blow when he was like, no, I don't have the time for this. That was another one. I don't have the time for this. I only use this with you, therefore it doesn't sink in. And yeah, and I interpreted that again as he wasn't serious about the counseling, therefore he wasn't serious about wanting to keep this relationship together, and he wasn't in it. These were all my interpretation. Now, I've come a long way since that time. But still, like, if you see somebody, like, consciously, if you're trying to tell somebody something and they're not doing anything, there's so much you can do. Like, especially in any type of relationship, if the other person is not responding, shifting, adapting, like, yeah, it's not gonna fix itself on its own. Although, thanks to the training, apparently you can fix the relationship by changing yourself first and just focusing on yourself first. But I don't know, I'll be the judge of that when I do that, because I'm currently working that on my own with a different family tie relationship. But yeah, that was another blow. That was a big fat blow. And I was more apt of having the hard conversations with him, and I'd have them. I was not afraid of having them. I'd say it, and I could see him hurt. I could see it. But for me, it's like I had to say it. It wasn't. He could feel it. He could feel something was off. And he noticed it as well. So me speaking up, he would actually understand what was going on a little bit better. But yeah, it was survival mode from both of us towards the end. Although I had let go, so I don't know in what mode I was, but we weren't together. I was just like, I don't know, maybe he was in survival mode. I was just like, I'm hanging in there until whatever. I don't know what I was waiting for, really. And then April, that was that, counseling in May. In March, when I knew that it was the right choice, I started talking to, shame. That's a topic. I started sharing what I was going through with my sister and my mom. They didn't understand. I was afraid to share what I was going, because I felt so ashamed. I felt so ashamed because I wanted to end what everybody perceived as a good thing. He's still is loved by all my family. He still hangs out with family members. and I was removing him from my family. Everybody loved him in my family. And me choosing to end this relationship means that I was removing him out of my family. And I felt shame for this. I felt ashamed. I felt like I shouldn't be doing this because I'm... Yeah, there's no reasoning about it. Which when I actually expressed my shame afterwards, people's like, oh, but you shouldn't have felt the shame. And I'm like, well, don't tell me what I should and shouldn't have. Like, if I felt that way, it's because there's behaviors before that, that, you know, you have expectations and I interpreted it in certain ways. And that's why, like, I believed that I needed to be a certain way in order to be accepted and loved. And also, my career wasn't what I thought my parents wanted from me. So I felt a failure in that perspective. But I had the man that everybody loved. And so if I removed that, I was gonna be a big failure. Fucking shit. And so there was a shitload of shame. And I felt guilty too. Oh, crap. Yeah. Yeah, there's a silence. I'm crying and just being with what's going on. That was a weight. There's still a weight there. Yeah. Another reasoning that came from family members was, but you've had such a good relationship, so why ending it? Why do you want to bring that apart? And I was like, it's not because you had a good thing that you should keep continuing if you can't foresee the future that you want. For me, that didn't make any sense. Like, great, you had a good thing, then accept that, and if this is the end, then this is the end. And knowing that it wasn't meant to be. Yeah, because the family members try to convince me to stay in the relationship and to try to do everything to fix it and do it. And telling me ways to fix it. It's just like, you have no idea, like, what I've read, what I've done, what I'm working. And I wasn't explaining throughout the deep end because I was afraid of more judgments, more telling me how I should be and I shouldn't be. By the way, 4 years on, my mom still tells me how I should be and shouldn't be. So she's been telling me since I was born, and she still does it to this day. She still tells her mother how she should and shouldn't be. So that's still a thing. and which my grandmother just replies by saying, like, fuck off. Which I love when this happens. I completely signed up. Lot of shame felt. But the two people who I was speaking to on a regular basis, the two friends, weren't telling me what I should and shouldn't be doing. They would share stories, they would share their personal experience, they would ask questions, they would stay curious. And they would just show support. They would just, you know, tune in into how they thought I could use support. And they would ask me, like, how can I help you? How can I support you? How can I be there for you? And that was incredible help. Right. Now, June. I was with therapy, with the counseling. I went on it saying, you know what, we have nothing to lose. Let's give it a try. Let's see how it goes. Just open-minded. No particular outcome in mind. And there was one session, actually, which I definitely wouldn't recommend her. There was one session, and because the sessions were recorded, and then we could watch them afterwards, that I know this was what happened. She asked the question. I replied. The tech glitched. He replied. She didn't hear his reply. I reacted to his reply, annoyed. She then continued to talk about my reply, how I shouldn't have reacted that way without ever listening to his response. And never trying to also understand why I was reacting that way. And so for a whole hour, she was trying to convince me that I shouldn't have spoken that way without having heard what he said. And so for the whole hour, I felt attacked by both her and him telling me that I shouldn't be behaving that way. Again, I felt that way through a therapy session. If you've ever done a coaching or a therapy session, by the way, so this was all online, remote. And this happened. I'm a coach. I will take full responsibility if there is a misunderstanding in communication, and I would not blame a client or tell them they should be doing or should be behaving in any matter or way. And I guess this is why it also... Oh, I didn't realize this would trigger something in me, but I felt so hurt, and from then on, I did not want to do any more sessions with her for crap, because she wasn't holding a safe space for me to be in. Now this doesn't happen, I hope this doesn't happen in therapy. Actually, I can't talk because this was the only time I really was in a counseling session with somebody else. I've done coaching with other people who've held incredible spaces. This was the only time that I did not feel held by her, by somebody like that. It's not good. It's not good at all. And if, by the way, that happens to you with a therapist or a coach or a counselor or whichever, I would see if you can talk to them about it and see how they respond. If they're wanting to learn, shift and change and adapt and not do that, great. It shows that they understand there's been a mistake, especially from a tech perspective. You know, tech is what it is. Communication is bad, equipment can faulty, and that's totally okay. If you're unsure as a coach, and I'll be talking as a coach here, my personal perspective, because I've had this where I've had tech glitches with people that I've been coaching online, I make sure that I've heard right. I go in with curiosity, reflective listening, saying, this is what I've heard you say, is this correct? Do I understand this right? Or if I'm reflecting on something, it's like, my understanding is this right? And if it's not, please correct me. And that's how we'll go into a session. Because I guess also that's a part of me that felt attacked in that session. And I do not want to recreate that with any of my clients because it fucking sucked. So that was sometimes in June. And then my grandfather had to go to hospital. I was talking to him on the phone, and I was talking to him on the phone, and he was really in a bad mood. Now, I'm trying to do a little bit of a background sort of context thing. Grandparents are in France. My sister was in the UK, she was in France with them, with my grandparents now. My aunt was in Singapore, my aunt was in Hong Kong, I was in Hong Kong. Hong Kong and Singapore with COVID were on a fear basis. It was fear everywhere. Fear, 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 and it was fear. My aunt and my mom, from my understanding and from what I've heard, were telling my grandparents what to do, how to live, and how to be on a day-to-day basis because of the fear that Asia and COVID has created. My grandfather was getting operated. He didn't want it, but he was going to do it because he knew if he wasn't going to do it, he would be told off on a regular basis by by 2 to 3 members of the family. But I was talking to him and I could feel that his energy wasn't in. Also, my sister was there and they were told not to see my grandparents for an incubation period of time. Because of COVID, my grandparents couldn't give a crap. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I'm just saying the situation. And yeah, my grandfather was just, I guess, with with everything that was going on. Anyways, I was afraid, and the question came to me. It was a week, it was middle of June, when after I talked to him and he really wasn't on his best, I was like, I want to go to France. Because if he has his operation and everything turns out fine and I've gone, then great. I will have an extremely great summer with people that I love. If ever I don't go, it goes bad and he dies, I will regret it forever of not having gone. And I did not want to leave without regret, because I've done choices before in the past where I haven't done, not about death, but different, just holiday family time. And I haven't gone and I've regretted not going. And I don't want to live with that anymore. I don't want to create any of these times that I live with that. So I will go for it. So I think the conversation was on Saturday. On Sunday, I talked to my partner and I booked my ticket for the next week because my birthday was coming up. And I was leaving the day after my birthday. Well, actually, the day after, after my birthday. Let me sure I stay on track with the relationship. So leaving the day after the birthday. Yeah. Went to France. Which then I was questioned of like, what are you doing? You know, what about, you know, your ex, your partner? I'm like, well, he'll survive. My grandfather might not. I'm going. Like, this is a simple choice. Like, it was a no-brainer for me. It was like, just like, priorities. You're like, yeah, no, it's fine. In France. Hong Kong was getting a little bit better with COVID by then. Slightly better, I think, towards... Yeah, it had it up and down. And then July came. I was in France. I was working remotely. I mean, I mentally, it was a weight. There was multiple things that made it that it was mentally very heavy, because of family things, of COVID, and the relationship. We talked on a regular basis for long periods of time. And then COVID picked up in Hong Kong again. Oh, here you go. Crazy thing. So July 2020 in France, the people had been in confinement already like for a month or so in April, I think, or maybe May. I'm not quite sure, but around that time. But when I arrived in July in France, where in Hong Kong it was super strict, people restriction, mask everywhere, like super, and it was COVID all the time. You talk about COVID everywhere, constantly, nonstop. I arrived in France, nobody's wearing a mask at the airport, people aren't wearing masks in the streets, it's like COVID's not really a real thing. And so having lived with like 5 months with this like full blown out in Hong Kong and coming to France, it was a breath of fresh air in a way. Like really, like I was free again. I could go to the beach. I could walk. I didn't have to wear a mask. There was no constrictions. I could pick up activities. I picked up dancing again. I did a whole bunch of things and I felt like I was living again. And I didn't feel alone as well. And I did not know if I was going to come back to Hong Kong either early August or later. There was an event that I was thinking of going to, so it's like it doesn't make sense to go back to Hong Kong and go back to France because they're long flights, so maybe stay over just for that time. so I did not know when I was coming back. So keep in mind that it was uncertain with my partner then, and yeah, we still had conversation, we still talked, we weren't doing counseling anymore. And yep, and COVID picked up in Hong Kong again, and everything started shutting down in Hong Kong again. The city was never shut down, but it was, the rules got strict. There was never any confinement in Hong Kong. Everything still kept open, but you had to be, two people were limited. You can't meet up in big groups. The social group activities changed. Like, there was very high limits going on. And I feared, like, when that happened in March, I felt so alone. I had nothing to do. It was a really, really bad time, a very low time. And I did not want to relive that. So when I was thinking of going back to Hong Kong to that, it scared the shit out of me. Like, I didn't want to go back to that. I didn't want to feel alone. I didn't want to not be able to. Actually, it was mostly feel alone. oh, shit. I've just finished reading a book called Braving the Wilderness by Brené Brown. And I recognize it. There's a scientist in there about loneliness that say, like, when you're thirsty, you drink. It's your body's way to tell you that you need to drink. When you're hungry, you eat. It's your body's way to tell you that you need to eat. And when you're alone, you need social connection. It's your body's way telling you that you need social connection. You need human connections. We are social beings, humans. Without it, we die. Research shows that when you feel lonely, you're 40% more likely to die. 40%, right? And I'm sharing this now because, like, this is how I felt. I felt scared. I felt scared of feeling alone, of feeling like I couldn't belong to anything. I couldn't be part of anything. I was going to be all alone again because he had his full-time job. And all my friends were secluding themselves and their homes because of their own fear. Like I said, it was a whole fear going on with COVID, so I completely accepted that. But I felt alone. And here I was in France with my family. I spend the morning working, I eat with my grandparents and my sister and the kids, and then we'd go to the beach in the afternoon. And I was not alone. And so, talking on Hong Kong and things like that, and I told my ex, my partner then, that I just did not know, like, if I wanted to come out back to Hong Kong just yet, because, like, I felt, I was afraid. I was afraid, and I mentioned he was afraid. His reaction felt like panic. And he was just, my interpretation was he was telling me to come back to Hong Kong no matter what. That I couldn't stay in France, I had to come back to Hong Kong. So I saw, like, I had to come back to something that was going to strip me of my essence of who I was and how I felt. Like, and I could not see myself doing this. And I didn't feel supported. You know, I felt once more told to do what I should be doing, told how I should be living. And I was starting to, like, push that off. Like, I was really starting to, like, stop pushing people away who were telling me what to do. Because, like I said, for about 32 years of my life, I would just do that. I would do what people were telling me to do, subconsciously or consciously in one way or another, to be loved and feel like I could serve. But I was doing it. That scared me. And so the interaction wasn't, I didn't feel supported by him. I didn't feel supported by him. I didn't feel like he was taking on any of the tools that from the counseling. And actually later, I mean, it's a comparison, but I have a good friend who went back the same summer to see her brother as he was going to hospital, and she felt the same. Her partner's reaction was, he told her how much he loved her, that he was there for her, and he sent her a massive bouquet of flowers, just telling her that she's like everything for him, and he loves her, and he wants her to be happy and to be well. And yeah, And when she told me that, I was like, oh my gosh, I just wish I had more support from my partner. So yeah, I felt again lost. I didn't feel like I was gonna go back to something that I wanted, which again is a theme, right? It was no longer the relationship that I wanted, and that came up. Like, this is not what I wanted. By then, by end of July, I think, I'd made the decision that I was gonna end the relationship. But because I was in France and he was in Hong Kong, that I didn't want to end it over a phone, and also we live in the same flat and all my stuff was there. So there was a logistic part of it. And also, I mean, nothing would have changed anyways, like I said at the beginning of the talk, like this is the good choice and I would not change anything of things. But I kept asking him how he felt, how he truly felt, right? I would express I was hurt, I was fearful, I would share that with him. He would tell me, like, I'm okay. Like, it's not good, but I'm okay. He would never express his feeling. Or instead, like, I would ask, how you feel? And he goes, I think. I love when people are like, how do you feel? I think it's not a good idea. How do you feel? I think it's gonna fail. How do you think? How do you feel? And so on. Ooh, I need a drink, sorry. Not sorry, I need a drink, I'm drinking. Yeah. And yeah, so I made the decision of that, but I didn't want to do it over the phone, long distance, while I wasn't ending the relationship. And then August came. So I was in France and my dad in Hong Kong was talking to my partner at the time on a regular-ish basis, because my dad lived in Hong Kong. And I remember it was one morning in August. There was a talk. My partner was asking me when I was going to come back, and I did not know. And I was planning things, and there was a race that I wanted to do. And other things that was going on, and so my return I was planning for mid-October, and that was, we're still, yeah, early August, but I did not know if that was going to be confirmed yet. So early August there was things being put in the works, and I was waiting for answers to know if it was confirmed or not, because if it was confirmed then I would come back mid-October, and if it wasn't confirmed then I might come back earlier, like mid-September. So I did not know. And I was okay with not knowing. Like, I did not know when I was going to return. It was okay. I still think, like, I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 6 months, and it's totally okay with me. It worries the people out of my life for sure. Like, they need to know, but I was like, I don't need to know, and I'm okay with this. It's so funny. COVID helped a lot with that as well. And so I remember one morning, the same thing, I remember this one quite clearly, where I was talking to my dad. And he goes along the lines of, what are you doing? He's miserable. And And then I was like, crap, like, I can't keep this dynamic going. I can't keep this dynamic going till I come back. Like, I'm okay not knowing, but he's not. I'm okay, yeah, not having a deadline, but my partner isn't. And if he was, and it was the first time where, you know, I tried to understand how my partner felt at the time. I tried to understand what was going on, but I got jack shit out of him, you know? And I was like, okay, it was truth time. And it was then that I decided that I was gonna end it. So I had a conversation with him, and I could still not foresee anything changing. Like I did not believe then that anything would change by the time that I get back to Hong Kong in October or whenever. I hadn't seen any change whatsoever on his behalf. And so that's why I mentioned, I was like, we gotta end this. No, we gotta, I'm ending this. I also knew that he would not end it. That he would just stay in it and he wouldn't end it. And he would just hope for something to change around, turn around. And he would not be the one to end it. So I was the one that needed to do it. And I did. I told him, and he was then saying like, oh, but I could change. And to which I replied, you are willing to change for me. You're not willing to change for yourself. You're willing to change for me. And therefore, you will not be happy, satisfied with that change. And you will always hold me accountable for that change and blame me if there is things. You're not going to be happy through this period because you're not doing this for yourself, but for me. And therefore, I'm going to feel like you're not happy and it's not going to work. And therefore, I don't want you to change for me. If you'd wanted to change, you would need to change for yourself, but not for me. And yeah. So yeah, and that's the day that things ended. And I think we had a few more conversations, maybe. I don't really remember afterwards too much. We still talk occasionally, very rarely. I kept in good contact with him. Still to today, one of the things that I wanted to was that when being with somebody for that long of a period of time, you build something. There is a connection, there's a rapport that you build with that person. And I didn't want it to throw it all away. I didn't want it to go to shits. I didn't want it to be somebody that I don't talk to anymore. And so throughout the whole relationship, I also always took it upon myself. Like if I behaved a certain way, it felt a certain way, it was mine. And I owned that. I also owned the fact that in a relationship, there's two people. And if the other person doesn't want to change or is not willing to make an effort, not because they don't want to, but they just, there's other reasons or blockage or whichever. I don't know what the hell it was. I can't talk for his perspective. I really cannot talk for his perspective. I don't know what's going on. But if the other person isn't shifting and you're the only one who's changing and you're trying to build something, yeah, it's hard to do it. For me, it felt hard. Like, another thing also, and that's not relating, was that everything else that I was working on from a self-development perspective, from my business, from my mindset, from feeling being enough, from reaching out, from communicating with people, everything was improving, and this wasn't working, and I did not know what to do. I really felt lost. I felt lost, I felt hopeless, and I did not know what to do. And so there just came a time where I gave up, I let go. I was like, well, nothing of that I'm trying is working. I'm trying different approaches. I'm not getting any reactive feedback from my partner. That's how I felt. Don't know if it was my interpretation again. But I let go. Like, what else? Yeah, I felt lost. I felt lost and alone. And I was communicating. I might not have been communicating in the best possible way possible, but I can guarantee you that about 99% of the people in the world are not communicating in the best possible effective way. when it comes to their feelings and their emotions. I'm being specific about that. And what they want. People are more likely to put their feelings and their emotion aside to make sure that people stay happy and pleased, so they will avoid having hard conversations, rather than actually express what's true for them. And then that's one thing that I appreciate about myself, is choosing to stay true throughout this whole time. Still am, by the way, staying true to myself. And yeah. Not choosing to lie and choosing to be okay to have the hard relationships. And they were painful. They were painful. And I could see it was painful for him too. And I'd rather do that than, yeah. So yeah. But yeah, I wouldn't change anything. Recently, I've always had this dream. It was just after university. What I wanted to do originally after university was, I did my university in the UK, and I wanted to work for a full year in the UK, earn money, put money aside, and then travel the world. That's what I really wanted to do after university. And the people pleasing me and listening and the goody two shoes wanting to listen to everybody else. I listened to a family member because of a situation, and I did that. And I did not do my traveling. And then I met my partner, and I stayed in Hong Kong ever since. And there was still an urge in me to travel and travel big. We traveled together on a regular basis, like every 3 to 4 months we'd do a weekend away, and so we did travel and do activities together and get along and discover, and that was really good. But yeah, one of the countries that I wanted to want countries continents was Latin America, and I hadn't done it. But yeah, so I recently was talking, and he's happy in Hong Kong, and he's planning on staying there, and I'm creating a life where I can work from absolutely anywhere in the world, travel at the same time, and be with the people that I love. That is not required for me to be in one area. And yeah, and he doesn't see himself traveling. So that's one of the things, and there's other things, but knowing that, like, I mean, the year that I left Hong Kong, I went to South Africa, Mozambique, and Mexico within the next 6 months. So, woohoo! Just like, fly, fly, little dragonfly, fly. Yeah. No, so many good things happened. But yeah, so to recap, the learning lessons. So in December was noticing what I truly wanted and trying to put actions forward to creating the relationship that I wanted. So putting that into that. So really, first of all, figuring out what do you want? And so I wanted more connection, more closeness, and then putting something forward. Obviously there's a better way of communicating it. I did not find it then, but that was December. January, well, bold move. Asking for an open relationship, but I really noticed that the commitment to him was big, and I was like, yeah, I will not break that commitment whatsoever in any circumstances. There was no way for me that I was gonna break that. Staying in integrity and choosing to follow that. And I said that word right, integrity. Yay! February, embracing my womanhood to its fullest. And truly, something also that I learned was, like, a woman in her full power, when she feels completely whole And she's energetic, she's attracting. Like, this attracts both men and women and energizes everybody around. And I was like, embrace that, embrace her, be her and shine and not be afraid. And like, knowing that I am enough and then I have the capacity with me to just do whatever I wanted to do. March. I really was tuning into my body, you know, asking my body what was right. And I know, like, I have the answer within me. Like, also, by the way, you have the answers within you always, 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 always. You always do. And that's something that I'm learning in coaching as well. The client always has all the resources, all the answers within themselves, and a coach guides them to find it. Love that perspective as well. But yeah, I just tuned into my body, really paid attention to what I wanted, and then I followed. And it was interesting because from that day onwards, I just knew what I needed to do a little bit better. And also, same thing, staying honest with him. So choosing to have the hard conversations, not knowing where it would lead or where the conversation would lead or what I would do. At the end of the conversation I had with my partner, when I was telling him that I was looking for a job and a flat to leave, I was like, well, what does that mean for us? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just letting you know what I'm doing right now, like keeping you up to date. But I have no idea where it leads. And just communicating with the person in front, even though you don't know what the outcome's going to be. And that's okay. You don't always need to know what the outcome is going to be. Just like your next step. And that's totally okay. Counseling the next month. That, yes. Counseling. Well, first, if you do want to find something you're comfortable with, whether it's counseling, therapy, or coaching, it's like dating, ironically. But yeah, you want to make sure you find somebody in front that you feel safe and comfortable with to be able to guide you through anything. So you might not find on the right one straight away, and that is totally okay. Don't give up. If that's something you truly want to do, keep researching, keep testing out different people who are serious about this. By the way, will offer a session, even if it's a 20 minutes or 40 minutes or something, for you to get to know them and see if there's a good vibe or not. If people aren't open to doing that, then, you know, try somebody else. Or if you do like that person and you have a good feeling, maybe then just pay for one session, see if you like it, and then you can buy a package afterwards. But I would recommend any human being, if you haven't learned communication tools will improve all of your life. It will improve how you function at work, which also means your likelihood of increasing promotions, because you will have better communications with your colleagues, with your bosses. You will be easier to work with. Therefore, you would be the person that people want to put forward because there's an ease about you, right? In relationships as well, family, friends, or love relationships, there's an ease about it. It's easier to communicate with people, to create connections, deeper connections with each other. And when shit hits the fan, you have the tools enabled to surmount whatever is happening, which that is like, you're just not in survival mode, but you have the toolkit for your survival mode as well, which really, like, anybody would recommend to do that. And then in June was really following my heart, knowing that, yes, my relationship needed tending, but my heart also needed tending, and that was my grandfather and my family. And then so I chose that, and I knew that, well, to be honest, if the relationship really is strong and can live anything, that it could go past that as well. Because, yeah, like, my grandfather has now passed away, and all those moments that I chose to be with him, I will have for the rest of my life. And they're beautiful, and I wouldn't change that for anything. And that summer, it was July, August, September, and a bit of October that I was there with them, it was beautiful, considering that it was 2020, and the next summer that I saw them was 2022. And so, I will cherish that. This is not particularly on a relationship basis, but just on the no regrets part, where, well, she could be in the relationship too. I have no regrets whatsoever about that. Yeah, especially with hindsight, knowing like, yes, this was the right choice to make, and it was such a beautiful moment to spend with them, and also with my sister and her kids, which was really good too. July was, yeah, fear. I guess the lesson, well, not I guess, but the lesson that I learned now, and actually it's with a lot of hindsight and also with the coaching, is my partner was afraid. And he projected that fear onto me, and he... So this is my interpretation of the situation. He was not able to hold the space for me and my fear, and he was adding his fear onto mine, and he projected his fear onto mine. So I was afraid, he was afraid, and he was putting his fear onto me, because he was afraid of losing me, he was afraid of... Well, I can't sit talk for him, but I could... think that he would have been afraid of losing me, of me not coming back, and the fear of that, and so that was projected onto me. And so really working on yourself first to be able to recognize that, because now in a situation where somebody's projecting fear onto me, I can notice that it's theirs and not mine, and even if I'm triggered and something's happened, I can still pay attention to what's mine and what's the person in front of me. And so I won't take double sort of emotional weight, because I can do the separation of the two. Sorry. This is going a little bit longer than I thought it was, and I do have to go in a bit. Right, and August. Again, not being afraid of having the hard conversations. And also that's something that I've learned afterwards, but is you can't make somebody change if they don't want to change. And pushing somebody to change for you is the wrong reason to make somebody change. I still believe that, because the amount of stories that you hear, and I know there are exceptions to this, by the way, but the amount of stories that you hear that somebody pushes somebody to change, and then the person who's changing for that other person is blaming the other person for things that are happening. Now, if somebody is changing for the other person and can take full responsibility of the things that are happening, that is great. But that is rare. Most humans do not have the capacity, aren't not growing up with that capacity of being able to do this. You can grow this capacity, by the way. This can be learned, and it can be learned by anybody. I know that for a fact. I know that it is, because the mind is extremely interesting how it works, and humans have an incredible capacity for learning. Every single human do, and that includes you listening right there. But it's taking responsibility for things that are happening into your own life and not pushing it onto the other person. So, yeah. And, yeah, that's the wrap-up of this episode. Thank you for listening all the way. This is a long episode. I just had to say, like, if you've taken anything away from this, you can send a clip to a friend, you can tag me on, share it, tag me on Instagram or LinkedIn. I'm at Tara Barrow, T-A-R-A-B-A-R-O-T. And I'd love to, hear comments, feedback, things that you've taken away from this. And if you've gone through something like this, just curious also to know your side. This is a raw episode where I'm just showing up, and I've just been mindful of everything that I've shared. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following. Thank you for being here. And I'm curious to know your takeaways from this episode. So please do share. Reach out. All right. I'll see you next time. Bye.